How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Sundays, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, the American Forces Network, Cable Radio Network, iHeartRadio, iTunes, TuneIn Radio. List goes on and on, the most listened to daily pro wrestling and mixed martial arts radio show in the world. Thursday here on the show, and we have got news to talk about here today. I have two pages of news to get into, so much stuff. We're going to be joined in the second segment by Dave Meltzer. We've got some MMA stories to talk about with him. I've got a ton of pro wrestling stories here. Everything from Gawker to Daniel Bryan, the WWE Network schedule leading into WrestleMania, some ratings, including Total Divas, which appears to be dying on E. We've got more on the New Day, inducting the Fabulous Freebirds into the WWE Hall of Fame. So much stuff to get into. And, of course, we will be taking your text messages, 425-780-7566. We'll probably take phone calls in the final segment of the show. So if you're listening right now, don't call yet. Wait till the final segment of the show to call in. But the number, toll-free, 844-411-5411. And text messages, 425-780-7566. Our studio line is 425-488-0525. All of these numbers on the front page of WrestlingObserver.com. Besides the news, we're looking for your feedback on the NXT and Lucha Underground shows last night. I will be watching both of them tonight. We'll be reviewing them on the Brian and Vinny show later on this evening for subscribers. I've been told great things about the Lucha Underground Aztec Warfare show, which is their version of the Royal Rumble. The difference is no over-the-top rope DQs or eliminations. You can only win via pinfall or submission. The debut of Matanza Cueto. The debut of Rey Mysterio, Dragon Azteca Jr. What were your thoughts? Text me. We'll talk about it here on the air, plus all of the news, and we will be back in just a moment with more Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Back here on Wrestling Observer Live, Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We will soon be joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. A lot of news to talk about today. Dave Meltzer will be joining us in the second segment of the show. We'll take your text messages now, probably your phone calls, etc. later on. Was noted here on Twitter that I must stop the presses and before anything else talk about the big news, which is the return of the Urban Wrestling Federation. How many of you remember
that
the
is big news.
Urban Wrestling Federation? There's Mike.
Remember? I do.
Of course you do.
Yeah, man.
Urban Wrestling Federation was a promotion that ran some pay-per-views and they got mixed reviews, as they should have. And there's a lot of talk that the Urban Wrestling Federation
will
return.
And they got remixed reviews.
They will return this summer. We've had some of the former stars on. Some had good things to say, some did not. So we'll see what this reboot is all about. But the Urban Wrestling Federation allegedly returning this coming summer, so you can all look forward to that.
You know what the reboot's all about? Giving the people that subscribe to the Figure Four and WrestlingObserver.com website gives them the opportunity to remix more great songs to be played on the Brian and Vinny show, because some of the greatest songs ever played came out of that show that people made for you and Vinny.
That is true. We can't play them here on Sports Byline. They are rife with profanity, but they
amazing,
were
amazing, though.
The return of the Urban Wrestling Federation is really about getting that money. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
Forget all the other stuff. All right, I got a lot of news here I got to get into. We'll talk about Gawker after a while. Actually, you know what? Forget it. I'm going to talk about it right now.
Uh-oh.
So, Hulk Hogan and Nick Denton. Nick Denton is the founder of Gawker Media. Hulk Hogan is Hulk Hogan. They've been all over the place talking about this judgment. Obviously, there will likely be an appeal, but there's a whole lot of money that is required on the Gawker side to appeal. But Hulk Hogan did an appearance, and then Nick Denton was on The View. And Nick Denton was asked about a lot of different things that occurred during the Hogan trial. One of them was your main man, AJ Delirio. AJ Delirio, who made the comment when they were interviewing him months ago. This was played during the trial. And they said, "What would you? When would you deem a sex tape not newsworthy? When would you not place a sex tape on the Gawker website?" I can't remember the exact same question, but essentially his answer was, if the individual was under the age of 4. So essentially he was saying, if you were a child over 4 and a sex tape showed up, he would deem it newsworthy and put clips of it on Gawker. Anyway, point was, they asked Nick Denton about this statement. And Nick Denton, in responding, would not even utter AJ Delirio's name. He merely referred to him as the journalist in question. He said that the journalist, quote, made a flippant flip remark at the end of 7 to 8 hours of questioning by lawyers. It was stupid. It was inappropriate to the circumstances, and we paid a heavy, heavy price for it in court. Very upset with Mr. AJ Delirio.
Oh, now he is?
Dude.
It is funny when somebody costs you money how all of a sudden your feelings towards that person changes, huh?
Well, the guy had been out of Gawker for a long time, so it's not like he was still a part of Gawker until moments before the trial began.
Oh, I know, but it's not like, you know, and I know there was a trial going on, so I guess there was only so much shade you could throw upon Mr. Delirio leading into this thing, but you're talking about a guy that on one of your sites in 2010 put up the video from a girl that said that the footage was stolen from her and that she believes that she was raped in a stall in a bathroom at college, to which he responded, blah, blah, blah. Then he said later on that they weren't going to take it down. And it's embarrassing, but, you know, these things pass, so keep your head up. So what I say to Gawker, anybody that's invested in Gawker, and anybody that may lose money in this, don't worry, guys, just keep your head up. I'm sure it's embarrassing, but, you know, these things pass.
The other big story today, which I don't know anything about still, and I have not talked to anybody that knows anything about it, and there is a lot of confusion and frustration to a degree within WWE from people that don't know what's going on. Daniel Bryan was scheduled to be essentially the headliner at the Madison Square Garden show this weekend. It was Daniel Bryan Appreciation Night, and Daniel Bryan has pulled out and been removed from, however you want to term it, everything going forward. He will not be at Madison Square Garden. He will not be at WWE Fan Access. He will not be at WrestleMania. He will not be on the European tour. He has no future dates booked for the company. And when people asked about this, publicly they said he requested time off. Now, while nobody knows what's going on, somebody had texted me the other day. I think it was just a listener. And they said, there's probably nothing to worry about as long as they air the Daniel Bryan special on the WWE Network that's scheduled for next week. Now, I don't know if that's the case. I mean, who knows what's going on with Daniel Bryan, but I don't know if the special airing or not airing has anything to do with anything. But WWE did send out a press release today, and it is the WWE Network schedule leading into WrestleMania, and Thank You, Daniel is airing immediately following Raw on Monday night. It is a WWE 24 special, for those of you that have seen those. They had the cameras backstage at Raw in Seattle and followed him around all day as he prepared to make his retirement speech before, during, and after that speech. That is going to air on the network on March 28th, immediately following Raw. They also announced that while he has been pulled from WWE Fan Access on Sunday, he is going to be replaced by, of all people, Shawn Michaels. So at least I think you can say that that would be a comparable replacement. Yes. He was not replaced by, for example, Zack Ryder. So nothing against Zack Ryder, of course, but I would not consider that a comparable replacement for Daniel Bryan. But Shawn Michaels is. Here is a lineup, Mike, for the WWE Network leading into Mania.
All right.
Monday, we've got Thank You, Daniel, which is the Daniel Bryan WWE 24 deal. Then we've got Legends with JBL on March 29th with Michael Hayes, which brings me, by the way, several people have been very upset about the New Day introducing the Fabulous Freebirds. I've heard everything. I have heard conspiracy theories. I have heard all sorts of craziness. Why is it not Kevin Von Erich? Why is it this? Is it that? Here's what I've been told. There's no guarantee that they will be able to get Kevin Von Erich in on that Saturday for the WWE Hall of Fame. Michael Hayes loves the New Day. Michael Hayes, I guess, is one of the main writers of the New Day stuff. The New Day is an act, as you will find out at WrestleMania, the New Day is an act that they're trying to push into the stratosphere. And so essentially, really, it's all about the New Day. And I don't know if there's a generation of wrestling fans that are still confused as to what the WWE Hall of Fame is. It's not a real Hall of Fame. It's a way to do a Hall of Fame ceremony every Saturday before WrestleMania, induct a lot of people. God bless Jacqueline. I've been having a lot of fun watching her on Nitro. But Jacqueline is not a WWE Hall of Fame worthy competitor. But
stop it. Stop
they
it.
Need a woman in every year, and so she's in. That's the only reason she's in. So don't get too upset about the New Day inducting the Fabulous Freebirds into a Hall of Fame. It is just an act. It is just something for television.
I think some people, though, will point out the irony of some of the statements that Michael Hayes has made come out of his face.
There has been some irony, but that has nothing to do with anything.
I know.
It's
I know.
Just they want to get the New Day
Why
over.
Do you demean Jacqueline and Coco Beware so?
What do you demean them? I just said... I
They're
think
Hall of Famers. They're in any Hall of Fame.
They're not Hall of Famers. Come on now. There's as much Hall of Famers as... Dave should be going into the WWE Hall of Fame before Jacqueline. And by the way, Dave will be on this show after the break. Observer Live, Sports Byline USA, Radio Network. We are back here on Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. And Dave Meltzer is joining us for his usual Thursday segment here on the show. Dave, what's going on?
Not too much.
Since the biggest mystery in wrestling is Daniel Bryan... And we don't know anything about Daniel Bryan. I have got something else I've got to ask you about. Mm-hmm. So, you, of course, write for MMA Fighting as well. And there was an article today on MMA Fighting about Yoel Romero becoming the first UFC fighter to appeal a USADA suspension. He, of course, got... Yep. He was popped in December, out of competition drug test. He is claiming a banned substance. Now, here's my question.
A tainted supplement.
Tainted supplement, yes. He says, it says here that sources say Romero's team and USADA discussed a deal for a 9-month suspension for the fighter, but Romero preferred to go to arbitration. Mm-hmm. Now, why would they have offered 9 months?
I think that they had enough proof that he didn't knowingly ingest, or I think that they had proof of a supplement that was tested that showed the banned substance in it. So by doing so, USADA was, but you're still responsible for what's in your body.
I
see. So as like a compromise, USADA was willing to go with 9 months, but I think that they felt that if they went to arbitration, they could get the whole thing overturned. So that's the strategy behind it.
It is kind of a slippery slope, because if he did go to the health food store and he grabbed something, I mean, you are responsible for what goes in your body, but if there's no reason that what goes into your body should be tainted, I mean, it's just sort of weird. Like, what if there's a weird hormone in your milk? I mean, like, you go to the store and buy some milk.
I mean, sometimes some of these companies will put illegal substances in their supplements, because if they do so and people get great gains, they'll buy more supplements for years to come. I mean, that was one of the marketing tricks that a lot of supplements did was, in your first batch that you send out to everyone, you put like steroids in them, and people, you know, take them and get these gains, and then they take them for years. And by that point, you're not putting steroids in, and they're not getting the results, but they always remember the first time they took it and the results they got.
Dave, is there already a precedent for this with like the NFL or something like that? Where
there's always there was been like arbitration. I mean,
but wasn't there a spike supplement where they still suspended the guy, but they pulled it back because it was an honest mistake?
Yeah, there's problems. I mean, one of the things about this is like what if you are taking an illegal substance, you get popped, you have a supplement, and somehow you are able to have a chemist and put that substance in the supplement, and then you present it, and then you get off. That's always a weird thing. I don't even know if that's, I mean...
Well, I think the thing is that you have to hold on to everything, because every supplement should have a batch number. So essentially, yeah, what you would do is if you provided that substance to them, they should be able to check the batch, and everything in that batch should be tainted. If it's just yours and the rest of the batch...
I don't know if that actually happens, though.
Well, I mean, that's the way it should happen. Otherwise, yeah, you're right. You could just have somebody just, I don't know, go through your bottle and add something. I don't know how it would exactly work, but that's why they need the batch number.
Yeah.
So the other story today out of MMA is Nate Diaz, Conor McGregor 2. I don't think we've talked about that, at least here on this show with you. Your thoughts on them doing that at UFC 200 as opposed to any other fight? And I guess the rumor is it may be signed by the end of the week.
Yeah, I think it's supposed to be announced really soon, and that's the one that they're looking at. I mean, as far as of all the matches that they have, if you're looking at what match with Conor McGregor will draw the most, you've got Nate Diaz, you've got Frankie Edgar, and you've got Aldo, and Dos Anjos probably as your contenders, I think the answer is Nate Diaz. So that goes in the favor. Plus, I think that McGregor wants it because he wants to avenge the loss, and McGregor's going to get what he wants because he's the guy who brings in the money. So that's how it's going to end up happening. I would prefer, just because the featherweights have been sitting there, you know, waiting for a shot, especially Edgar, who's been waiting for a shot for a long, long time that he deserves. I would prefer that it be Edgar, but I understand why, especially with UFC 200, where you're trying to break an all-time record. And, you know, there really is a lot of interest in a McGregor-Diaz rematch. I mean, I would rather that, you know, McGregor fought once or twice, and then they went back to Diaz later. But they've got a UFC 200 thing, and... Look, you know, McGregor's going to call a lot of his own shots anyway, and UFC's going to book, especially right now, UFC's going to book based on what can draw them the most money right now because it's UFC 200. So that's kind of where it comes to. It's like, I understand it. It's not what I would like, but I'm not going to go say they're wrong, because if you're in a business and if you're in a business that's based on what fans want, because they're going to determine your economic viability, and then you give them exactly what they want the most, that's not bad business. That's good business.
It's really interesting looking at UFC 200 because it's not pro wrestling, and people want to fight, and people get hurt in training. But it just sort of seems like there was no... I don't know if long-term plan is the right... I mean, they just threw so many fights together. They put fights on UFC 199.
Was to bring back Ronda Rousey for UFC 200, but then her movie schedule got in the way. But I mean, that was the idea, and that was, you know, Ronda Rousey coming back against Holly Holm, you know, because this was before Holly Holm fought Misha Tate. I mean, that was UFC 200 main event, and Conor on the show. Conor was always supposed to be on the show too. So you put those two together, and you're talking about 1.5 to 2 million buys, no matter, you know. I mean, Conor could have fought Aldo or Edgar on that one with a Rousey Holly Holm, and I think you're doing a $2 million buy show. But with Rousey off the show, it put more pressure on Conor having a match that would draw bigger.
But I guess in some ways everything kind of sort of works out, because at least now there's looking at Tate and Rousey for the first show, I guess, in Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, good.
Which I guess
that. I know UFC's talking about it, and I know it's a possibility, but I'm just saying that I have heard things from people very close to Rousey that I'm just not so sure that she's going to be ready to fight in November. And I think that other people have heard that as well, which is one of the reasons why Tate's kind of like not, you know, kind of wondering what she should do. Like, she'll wait for November, and that is the big money fight, but there's a part of her where it's like, well, what if it ends up being like February? You know, maybe I should fight once between now and then. But then you got a risk. So, yeah.
Well, it's impossible to predict the future, but I mean, like, hey, you could always say Aljamain Sterling against Caraway, but that's not going to main event anything. So is John Jones obviously the next step as far as this is the person we want to be at UFC, the first UFC, or is Weidman okay?
I mean, as far as we're talking New York?
As far as what's the name you want.
For New York, I think that both Jones and Weidman are probably also going to be looked at for that show. I would think Rousey, Jones, and Weidman all on the same show is overkill, but I do think that you'll probably get two of the three. I think, the key is they may all end up on the card if Weidman loses to Rockhold, just to have like Weidman third from the top against another potential contender, whoever that would be. Like I don't know whether it could be a Sosa or Yoel Romero if he's not suspended, or whoever it would be. I could see that as a non-title. John Jones, if he beats Cormier, defending the title there. If Weidman beats Luke Rockhold, I could see him defending the title in the Garden. But I would think that those would be like kind of the direction you're looking at for the first MSG show.
So if you had, let's just do a fantasy prediction here. If you had John Jones, and let's just say you also had Ronda Rousey, and it's in New York, or even just one of them, because double main event, obviously, if you had those two, it would easily probably be the biggest show of all time. If you had the return of Rousey or the return of Jones, you have a strong semi-main, and you add in the fact that it's the very first show in New York with all the media, do you think that the Madison Square Garden show is going to beat UFC 200?
For pay-per-view buys?
Yeah.
Depends on what they have for UFC 200. Rousey's as big a pay-per-view draw as McGregor, if not bigger, because she's headlined. McGregor has headlined, but he's always had support. I mean, when he did, the Diaz fight had Holly Holm and Miesha Tate, which was a big match. The Aldo fight had Weidman and Luke Rockhold, whereas Rousey has main evented with, like, literally no semi-main in all her fights, and done almost as well, if not in some cases better. So Rousey will be a bigger draw. If Rousey fights Tate, I think it's bigger than as big as any Conor McGregor fight, or very close. And then if you throw Jones in, and Jones is going to draw a different audience than Rousey, I think that you're talking about something bigger. Yeah. But it depends on, it's Jones and Rumble Johnson, which I think is a big fight. That's really the only big fight. If Jones wins, if Cormier wins and you do Cormier-Jones again, that would be a giant fight in and of itself. If Cormier were to actually win the fight, and then let's say it's when he wins close enough to where you want to bring it right back, and you go with a Cormier-Jones 3 with Ronda Rousey and, let's say, Holly Holm or Miesha Tate, I think that beats UFC 200 for sure.
Very quickly here, after many, many, many years, MMA finally got legalized in New York, as we've noted here. I guess it has to be signed, but it's pretty much a done deal. Are you surprised that you put it like fourth or fifth down in the Observer after all this time? It wasn't even like the lead story.
Well, because the Hogan story was so big, and I'd written a story the week before that it was going to happen. So it was kind of like, I mean, the hearing was what it was, but it's like we already knew. I don't know. I mean, it wasn't like it was like some big thing. I mean, in some ways, I had more people talking to me about the Daniel Bryan thing, which I would have put higher, except the reality is
nobody knows what happened.
Bryan story.
All right, we have to head to a break. I want to thank you so much, Dave, as always. Dave and I, WrestlingObserver.com, 3 times a week, so make sure you check that out. The Observer is available in print as well. We'll plug that when we get back. Observer Live, Sports Byline USA, Radio Network. Back here on the show, Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. For the latest news and info in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, WrestlingObserver.com is the place to go, especially the subscribers area. It's only $10.99 a month. You get daily radio shows, 2 to 3 shows every single day. We have over 8,000 shows in the archives. Every show we've ever done dating back to 2005, you can podcast them. All sorts of great apps allow you to podcast the members-only shows. There's so much great stuff up there. You get The Observer, Figure Four Weekly, shows with Dave and I, Mike and I, Lance Storm, Filthy Tom Lawler, all sorts of great stuff. You can get some samples up on our YouTube page, which is up on the front page of WrestlingObserver.com, or go to YouTube/F4W Online or F4WOnline.com/YouTube. Who cares? Go to the front page, WrestlingObserver.com. Everything you need to know is up there. I got a tweet here with some news. WWE is looking for more writers. If anything will solve the problem, it is getting more writers. They only have 27 right now. I don't even know what to make of that. Tons of text messages here. Brian, this person says, would you be surprised if Shane wins and makes Titus O'Neil the director of operations? Yes, I'd be stunned.
Would you rather see Titus O'Neil in that role or wrestling?
Oh, in that role for sure.
Oh, yeah. See, there's where, you know, that, you know, I know that you want your top star to also be hand in hand as your top charity guy, but as Randy Orton proves, not everybody's got to be a charity guy all the time, but you know who can be? Titus O'Neil can be that guy. We don't need to see him wrestle. Maybe we break him out once a year or four times a year. We get quarterly Titus. The rest of the time, Titus should just be out there Titusing because he's amazing in what he does.
I presume that this is a gimmick question. Maybe it's not, but I just want everybody to know that if Shane wins, it's a storyline. I don't want to sound like a
Donald
jerk.
Donald Trump
here.
Bought the company.
I don't know how to say this without sounding like a jerk, but it's all a storyline. So
wait, give the tweet or give the question.
The one right there. If like Shane is going to bring back Titus O'Neil because Titus has been wronged in real life. It's
okay.
Still Vince McMahon's company. It's still Vince McMahon's storylines. It's still Vince McMahon having the final say. Shane would be nothing but a television character. It's not like all of a sudden Sami Zayn would be pushed to the top and Dean Ambrose and the title would be taken off Roman Reigns. And it's all just a storyline.
Yeah, think about where we're at, though. It did remind me of the WWE stock price falling when Donald Trump in kayfabe got hold of the company. The WWE stock price actually dropped with real investors who actually have real money. And when I say real money, I mean real money. Who were so oblivious that they actually dropped the stock because they were concerned over the direction of the company. That man who hurt the WWE stock, probably going to be a GOP nominee for president. It's an amazing world we're in.
You know what would be funny is if Shane did win and did bring back Titus O'Neil as a director of operations. That actually would be, you know what? The more I think about it, after my rants about Shane several weeks ago, that next thing you know he's back, maybe that will happen. But at the end of the day, everybody, it's all a storyline. It's all Vince's vision. It doesn't matter who is storyline in charge. This person here says, The Observer talked about the new promo material from Raw and SmackDown on USA. Does anyone have that material to see or just what people have said about it? Well, I've seen it. I don't know if it's public, but whatever Dave wrote in The Observer is exactly what the graphics list. So if you want to check that out in the new Observer, it's there. Just basically, it's a listing of who's going to be some of the main pushed stars on each of the different brands. And plans change, everybody. I mean, the advertising department, here's something you got to remember. When you see advertising, when you see house show lineups, I mean, it's all subject to change, and it likely will change many, many times. The ad department just does what they're told and what the plans are at a particular point in time. And you can go back in history and look at advertising for shows for the last decade, and you can see how often things have changed on a regular basis. Let's go to the toll-free line. You're on the air. What's up?
Hey, Mike. Hey, Brian. It's your favorite female, Trina Michaels.
Yes, Trina. What's going on?
What's up, guys? Well, hey, I got a couple things for you, but first off, I just want to say, you know, everybody's buzzing about these two stars leaving TNA, and I just wanted to tell you the real reason that they're no longer there is because Miss Dixie Carter had to find money to pay my salary. That's right. I have finally made my TNA debut. It will be airing on pay-per-view April 28th, Knockouts Knockdown. So make sure you check that out.
You know that fans of Bobby Roode and Eric Young are going to be very, very upset to hear that right now. You took their money.
I'm so sorry, guys.
Hey, you ever thought about working for the Urban Wrestling Federation? Because they've got some money.
They got some money?
Yeah, it's all about the money.
Well,
yeah.
It is.
Sure.
It's all about those Benjamins. But yes, so Trina, TNA debut, April 28th. And I wanted to drop some WrestleMania weekend plans on you guys.
All right.
So I will be out in Dallas Thursday night. I'll be hitting up the Wale Mania party. And then Friday and Saturday, I'm signing at WrestleCon, both morning and afternoon hours. I will be at the River City Wrestling booth with Hernandez. So come find me there, guys, if you'd like a picture or just want to say hi.
Are you performing on the WrestleCon show?
No, I am not. Just signing at the convention.
Because it's totally sold out, and so if you were, you could have used that on your resume as well, that you helped sell out WrestleCon.
Yes, I know.
But the River City Wrestling booth with Hernandez.
Correct.
All right. Well, Trina, yeah, I'll probably...
If we come up and see you, are we going to have to see Ed in San Antonio be anywhere near you, though?
Oh, I'm sure he'll be following me around all weekend. And I do plan on attending your Figure Four dinner as well. So I
really
hope Ed is bringing his wallet because I will be leaving mine at my hotel room.
All right. Well, I guess we'll see you then. That's Trina Michaels, everybody. And throw out your Twitter handle.
At Trina Michaels.
That's easy. At Trina Michaels. Yeah. All right. I'll see you that weekend, Trina. Thanks very much for calling in. I was going to ask her if she had a restraining order out on Ed, but apparently not.
Even if she does, you know, he's still going to be lingering around somewhere.
The gimmick should be that he has to pay for her dinner at the F4W Empire banquet, and then she files a restraining order.
Yes, exactly. I'll say this about that One Night Only show. They are what they are, but with Allison Kay and Barbie Hayden and some of the women, as Jim and I believe Ed have even talked about, that were on that show. I am interested to see what's going to happen. Far more interested to see there than what happens on a regular basis when it comes to their women division. No offense to Jade or to Rebel or Marie or anything like that, but far more talent on the One Night Only show.
I don't know if we have spots left, but there are nearly 100 people that are coming to the banquet, and now you know that Trina Michaels is going to be there, Filthy Tom Lawler is going to be there, Dave and I, and yes, Ed, and if you're going to WrestleMania weekend and you would like to go, f4wfan@hotmail.com is Ed's address, f4wfan@hotmail.com, email him ASAP, and maybe there will be a spot for you, but I am not sure. This person here says, what are some of the things in modern WWE that you are glad weren't invented for WCW? For example, a Money in the Bank briefcase. Dude, there's nothing today. There's nothing today that would have made WCW worse back then. It achieved the pinnacle of horrible.
Yeah. In every possible way. Like, they would, in different directions that they would go, in different storylines that they would try, there is very little that didn't actually fall quickly to the bottom and splat on the ground, no matter what it was.
This person says, Lucha Underground was great. Matanza is an inhuman suplex machine. However, I should not have looked him up on Wikipedia. Turns out he's not even Spanish or Mexican. He's Hawaiian.
What a buzzkill that is, huh?
Hey, either is Prince Puma. Doesn't matter. It's a television show. Who cares what they really are?
Just hey, how many Japanese guys in pro wrestling for years were Hawaiian? So this is how this deal works.
Television and movies are all about turning somebody into something they're not.
Exactly.
And he notes Matanza means killing spree. Yes, that is unfortunate. I knew that,
really?
But I did not tell my wife when I was trying to convince her if we had a boy to name him Matanza. This person here says, what are your thoughts on Juice Robinson in New Japan? Do you think he's done well there, all things considered? I think so.
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, it could be a lot, lot worse. It was jarring to see him there, and it's nothing against him, but it's just like Juice Robinson wouldn't have been the guy you expected. But you know what? He's not the only one like that. Lance Archer, Giant Bernard, Albert, when he first went over. There have been guys that you go and you scratch your head and you go, Bobby Fish. You know, Bobby Fish, if you didn't see him in Noah, you know, and you weren't a huge Red Dragon fan, it's like, this guy? Yeah, that guy. It's amazing. It's amazing where guys can fit, and he's a lot bigger than, you know, in that scenario than he appeared in NXT, which helps him out. He's got a ways to go. You know, Tanahashi, he is not, but as far as being a dojo guy who really wants to be there, I mean, there are far worse options, I think.
You know, I'm not going to waste my time ranting for a long time, and I really don't want to bother hearing the arguments, but I will say, this is a SmackDown spoiler. Roman Reigns on SmackDown got cheered. Apparently got cheered like crazy. And what happened was Roman Reigns came out and was a badass Samoan killing machine and apparently single-handedly destroyed two Dudleys. Now, it's not like I haven't for months pointed out that it's really not that hard. You don't have to overthink this. And I know what people are going to say. They're going to say, Brian, if they would have just pushed Roman Reigns like a Samoan killing machine where he never sells and he just beats up everybody, the fans would have turned on him. Well, you know what? Every time I've seen him do that, from The Shield all the way through apparently tonight's SmackDown, it's worked. And last night on Lucha Underground, it sure as hell seemed to work for Matanza. Dude came in out of nowhere, no-sold everything, killed everybody, and they made a star in one night. It's really not that hard.
Amazing, isn't it?
But they had to overthink it. And they had to try to make him into John Cena. He'll tell a bunch of funny jokes. He'll be a funny guy. Then they had to try to turn him into Daniel Bryan.
From Beanstalks to Bryan, yes.
He'll be a nice guy, but you know what? He'll get beat all the time, and he'll have to fight from the bottom. Or you know what? You could have tried to make him Stone Cold Steve Austin with less promos, or Brock Lesnar. And I think on about three occasions, they actually tried doing that, and on all three occasions, he got over huge. But, again, they have an idea of what your top babyface star has got to be, and they're hiring a new writer to try to make it work, I guess. Let's go to the studio line. You're on the air. What's up? Toll free, sorry.
Hi, this is Matt from Delaware.
Yes, Matt.
All right, yeah. Now, I heard you and Dave were kind of down the other night on Sami Zayn because you guys think he's not quite in the right spot he should be in for WrestleMania season. And I normally don't disagree with you guys, but I think you're being a little short-sighted here because the way I see it is, well, first of all, he's going to have a match with Nakamura, was it the day before or the Friday or whatever?
Yes, on NXT.
And first of all, that should probably be... a pretty hard-hitting match, so maybe they don't want to put him in a singles match with Kevin Owens for WrestleMania because he may be a little beat up. But second of all, I see, tell me if I'm wrong, but do you see him winning the title at WrestleMania and then maybe feuding with Kevin Owens until around SummerSlam time when they may bring up Nakamura to come and feud with him and maybe try to bring back some prestige for like the fifth time the Intercontinental title?
Well, I want to thank you very much for the call. We got to head to a break. I will address this when we come back. Observer Live, Sports Byline USA, Radio Network. All right, regarding Sami Zayn and the last caller, my issue is not with where Sami Zayn is on the WrestleMania card. I don't have any problem with Sami Zayn being in the ladder match. And maybe he will win, and maybe he will feud with Kevin Owens. But my issue is the way that he has been portrayed on TV since returning to Raw. He had a roadblock match with Stardust, who was almost as low on the card as you can possibly get, and it was hardly a showcase match, and it hardly got him over. Then he had a Raw match with The Miz, which was hardly a showcase match, and hardly got him over. And then he worked main event again against Stardust. It is, to me, being positioned as a mid-card guy. He's not been allowed to do anything that sets him apart and makes him special. He hasn't been able to do his great fiery promos. He hasn't been able to do his great fiery matches. He's just out there doing prelims. And historically, when a guy debuts on the main roster and he's thrust out there and he's just doing prelims, that to me says Vince McMahon and Kevin Dunn don't have big plans for the guy. So yes, I'm very, very concerned about that. That's my issue with Sami Zayn and his portrayal. I think a ladder match is a great spot for him. Hopefully he does very well. Hopefully he doesn't get hurt. That's my big concern. We're totally out of time, everybody. I want to thank you all for listening. Back tomorrow with a brand new show. We'll have some special guests on. And of course, thanks, Mike. Thanks all the folks at Sports Byline USA. Check out WrestlingObserver.com. Sign up for more. You will not regret it, especially here leading into WrestleMania. Talk to you again next time. Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline USA, Radio Network.